Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and today is midweek conversation. That's right, man. I'm telling you, it's the middle of the week, and I know some of y'all dragging, and you really don't want to think about anything too hard. So, you know, I decided we go ahead and do a midweek conversation. That way, you can control what's said and how long we talk about it, and we can see what's on your mind. That's right. It's the middle of East Wednesday. It's hump day. I know some of y'all got a problem with hump day, but it's okay. That means you got 2 working days of the week left. And that's always a good thing. Always a good thing. Well, let's see what else we got going on. If you want to be a part of the show today, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericlesstalk@gmail.com or send me a message in Facebook at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And don't forget, if you want to be a part of the chat room today, you can join us there as well. At www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate. You'll be able to participate on the show today. Of course, I want to welcome everybody out there that's listening on your iPhones, your iPads. I'm going to say a Walkman, but I don't think any of y'all listening to this on a Walkman. But your computers, you know, wherever you're listening at, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And because we know without you, show wouldn't be as good as it is, all right? Man, I tell you. So, what did we talk about yesterday? Oh, we had a nice little chat yesterday. Oh, are you ready to die? That's all I'm going to say. That was what we talked about. Some interesting comments were made. Some interesting outlooks were made. Also, and it's interesting because people look at things in different ways. And I guess the bottom line is, as we said yesterday, as we're going off the air, just depends on where you are in your life and I guess what you have been through to let you know, let you know that, hey, I'm ready. Or some people aren't ready. Let's be honest. It's just that simple. It's easy. It's all right. You know, it's not a bad thing, but it's all good. It's all good. Hello, my beautiful Antoinette. How you doing, darling? Welcome to the show. My chat room coordinator is here in the house. I love me some Antoinette. She's the sweetest person, boy, I tell you. Very special, very special. I love her to life. I love her to life. Yes, I do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, let's see. You know, we doing today, being that it's just conversation, basically, you know, y'all can join in or whatever. There's two things I think we'll start off with, but neither one of them really, I guess. There's a lot of things going on in the world and within your own community, your own life. So, you know, you can talk about these things and have fun. You know, such like Obama administration to reveal justification for drone strikes on U.S. citizens. Oh, they say, or the Chicago Police Department that's being sued for one cop telling a young lady, "You're not an effing American," you know, as she was kneeling cuffed and then hit her in the back of the head. So, you know, those are just two things I got to start a conversation. We just need to start a conversation, you know what I mean? And it's all good because conversations are just are always something great, you know what I mean? Because that's when you learn about a lot of things from a lot of people. And with some of them bad, some of them good. But the bottom line is you're talking, you're communicating. But let's make something clear, though. A part of what about the part about listening? You know, that is a part of the communication process as well. You know, sometimes you have to listen. Just sit back and listen. It's not going to hurt you. You know, it's not. Some of y'all can't even do that for about 5 seconds without having to chime in or say something and truly listen, not formulating your next response to what you think they said. No, just sit back and listen, you know? Ah, yeah. But y'all know what, though, man? It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's hump day. You know, and I know some of y'all probably had a kind of rough beginning of the week. And you're looking forward to the end of the week being a little better. But you know what? I thought today I'd bring you a little happy music, you know, to make you get up a little bit and something to whistle for the rest of the day as you go along your little grind, as I like to say. All right. So without further ado, man, I'm going to bring this in to you, and I hope you enjoy it for those listening. And, we shall see. All right. So without further ado, man, he is Mr. Tandy Pendergrass. We get up, get down, get funky, get loose. See y'all on the other side.
What you come out here for? What you come out here for?
All right, all right. I'm telling you, man. If that didn't put a little spirit in you, boy, I don't know what else will. Wow, man, I'm telling you, that was, oh, Teddy Pendergrass. Everybody recognized Teddy as an old crooner, but Teddy used to party a little bit too. He got a couple of jams on that way. He just was rocking out, man, I'm telling you. Get up, get down, get funky, get loose. He said, what you come out here for today, huh? You come to party, you come to dance. Man, I'm telling you, boy, I tell you, that got you kind of hot. That got you kind of hyped there, boy. I mean, woo! All right, Granny Gonza in the chat room doing her thing, so I'm not even going to go there with her. All right, well, for those just joining us, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and today is midweek conversation where we just talk, man. We talk. And you want to be a part of the show, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com. All right, and it's time for me to give the shout-outs now. Okay, we got Antoinette, Cloud Nation Radio, welcome back. That's my, he having some phone issues, but that's the co-host right there. Then we got Deep H2O, the intellectual one. Then we got Divine Design in the house. Of course, we got Granny Ganja in the house. But I wish she delivered by mail. Then we got guests 1124, 1133, 1150. Welcome to the show. I'm glad. Hope y'all enjoy it. I enjoy having you. Then on the switchboard, we got Mr. Joe in the house. That's right. And then we have anonymous person. I don't know what they want. We have to watch, man. We're going to have to get the drones out after them. You know what I mean? I'm going to get me, buy me a couple of drones so I can send them on. For people who don't want to tell me who they are on this show. But anyway, welcome to the show. Man, I tell you, that got me hype. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for a show now. So without further ado, let me bring, oh, wait a minute. Before I do, let's get the rules in. The rules. You know what? I don't feel like sending rules. So, you know, I'm going to bring Joe in and let Joe give the rules out because he has such an eloquent way of doing it. So let me bring Mr. Joe in. Hello, Mr. Joe. What's going on with you, sir?
Hey, Eric, Mr. Talk. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. So, all right. you know about the rules. So, oh, let yeah. everybody know what the rules are.
Okay, people. Are we going to institute the 2-minute rule and adhere to that, or are we going to do the? Or do you want me to do the old rules?
Let's make it the 3-minute rule.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen, folks. The show is popular. A lot of people come. Some people are gas bags. Some people are not. We have to give people an equal opportunity to express themselves. So what Eric's going to do is impose a 3-minute rule in which anytime anybody comes on the air, they will have 3 minutes to speak. At the end of 3 minutes, unceremoniously, he might tell you in advance that you're coming up close to 3 minutes. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But at the end of 3 minutes, you're being cut off. So if you can't control yourself, if you have to be a gas bag, if you have to express yourself for 3 minutes, something's wrong with you, okay? If you can't get down to the nitty-gritty of what it is you want to say in less than 3 minutes, go back to school, take elocution lessons, I don't care. Then, outside of that, there will be no personal attacks on people, although we do it from time to time. Those people have been coming here for a while. We have a certain understanding. We call each other names. That's not going to bother us. Those who are not new, those who have been here for a while, it's not going to penetrate our thick skin. So it's not an attack more than just a friendly type of dig. But those who are new, do not attack other people personally. And those who are old shouldn't attack new people personally until they become acquainted with Eric's panel, counsel, or the guest list. So no personal attacks. Keep your explanations, your opinions. Everybody's opinion is welcome. But keep your opinions to 3 minutes, and then after that, let everybody – and no interruption. Once a person has 3 minutes, let him or her be. Let them go. Do not interrupt. And then afterwards, I'm sure Eric will probably let some debates proceed. But in the meantime, but those who are coming on the air, you got 3 minutes. And then after that, Eric will let you know whether or not the three-minute imposition will still be in play. Did I leave anything out, Eric?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
What don't we allow as far as conversation?
No talking over one another. You can't use the N-word. You can't use the B-word. You can't use derogatory language, racial epithets on the show. In other words, don't insult people. Now, with regards to the other conversation that you're talking about, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you did real good. You know, you did real good, Joe. You're good. But let me clarify a little bit more. And, as far as no derogatory term, not only on the line, but in the chat room either, okay? Let's keep it clean. We all adults. We should have conversations as such. Like conversations. Right. Yes, Joe is correct. We're going to start a 3-minute rule because we've been getting some long-winded people. And, we need to handle that. So I'm not going to say it as eloquent as Joe put it. Some of these jokers are long-winded, okay? We need to shut that down. All right? And also, let's see. There's another one. Oh, yeah. Look. It's simple. You come in here throwing lefts and right, don't expect me to protect you, okay? I'm not going to do it. You come in throwing punches, expect to get hit upside your head a couple of times, too. All right? Now, I'm just saying.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm just saying. That's the way it is now. And when I hit the gavel, that means everybody just shush. Be through with it. All right? Okay. So I think that's all the rules that we can talk about right now. We need to talk about right now. And other than that, that's it. All right.
They're not hard to follow.
No, not at all. Not at all. But, some people, they try you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we got Michael Hood in the house. We got Renee Bass joining us. Oh, man, we getting them in here now. But anyway.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, once again. Today is midweek conversation. Yeah, hump day, midweek conversation. So, we just going to have a conversation, talk about some things, and it's all good. It's all going to be fun, hopefully. I mean, we're going to get a little serious, but today is the middle of the week. I don't think after yesterday's show, I thought I'd give y'all a break because some of y'all just don't – y'all didn't get yesterday, and your minds are still kind of foggy. So I'll give y'all a chance to recover. I should have said it like that, but I did, and that's what I mean. All right. Anyway, Joe, you got anything you want to talk about first before I get started?
Freaking okay. Veterans, man. The veterans, this has been going on since 2001. I downloaded a document in which the Veterans Administration, they've had this waiting list debacle ever since. I haven't had it since 2001, but a document which said 2001 and then in 2012, veterans have had to wait an exorbitant amount of time in order to get treatment, and now veterans are dying. These are, in effect, the death panels. So veterans are dying. People who have spilled blood, shed their bones, got blown up for America, and the Veterans Administration is not taking care of them, and people have died waiting for care. 43, from what I understand, in the past, couple of years or something like that, 43 vets have died waiting for care from the Veterans Administration. That, to me, is out of line.
You know what? I must admit, you are absolutely right. It's despicable, man. I mean, it's shameful. And, it's amazing how, when it comes out, everybody thinks this is something new. And it's really not, because it's something that's been going on. Now, a lot of critics would say, well, it's because of, all the Iraqi and Afghanistan war veterans, getting out and filing claims. But let's be honest, that's just an excuse. And it's not acceptable. It's really not. Now, I must say here where I am, you know, and the VA center that I go to, the wait is not that bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really not. But I have heard horror stories from other places that is really, really, you know, terrible. And something needs to be done. Now, everybody want to blame Shinseki. Well, I don't think it's really his fault. Because you have to start at the bottom and see where it came from. Because it's not the top, the head shed's fault. And here's why I say that. Because, and I learned this in the military, and Joy, I'm sure you can back me up on this. Mm-hmm. You know, laws, rules, and things come down from the head shed. Now, mm-hmm. once it gets through all the different channels and finally get down to the individuals that have to implement it, then it may have changed, number one. Or number two, they're going to put their own perception on what they think that means. Thus, you know, and then you just have those out there that really do not care. You know, and that's sad because there are actually some veterans working in these places, and they could care less about their fellow veterans.
You know what? After you finish, I want to comment on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm through. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I've called up the vet. You know, talk about bureaucratic nonsense. I called up the hotline for the Veterans Administration. They refer you through a prompt to another line. You call that line. Guess what that line does? It refers you right back to the line that you just finished calling. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a symptom of not caring. And when you do talk to vets, if you call other lines, local lines or some other national lines, you do get to talk to vets, and they don't give a crap either.
Mm.
Some of these vets you just want to smack the shit out of because
yeah.
they're so apathetic. I went to an event about 3 months ago. It was for the vets. It was a concert for the vets. And we, you know, there were the Vietnam vets there. There weren't any Korean vets there from the Korean War. But there were World War II and, you know, Iraqi and Afghanistan. They had a kind of almost a special commemoration for the Vietnam vets. We gathered in a circle. We didn't know each other. And we started hugging each other. And we just kept saying to each other, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're back. Because we knew what it was like. I was safe. But these guys were in country. And you're right, and it pisses me the fuck off when the Veterans Administration, people who have been in war or have served in any of the armed forces, and they don't care. I don't, you know, it bothers me more that they don't care than it is for the civilians who are either appointed a position in the Veterans Administration or somehow they've applied for a job and they don't care because they don't know. They're stupid. You can almost give them a pass. Not really, but almost. The people in the Veterans Administration don't care about the vets, and that comes from the head. I don't think any administration, not just Obama's, but Bush's and the preceding ones, they didn't give a crap either. All they wanted to do was make us drones, fight their wars, and when we came back, we had to fend for ourselves.
You make some very, very good points, Joe. You really do. However, I think this administration has made it more of an emphasis, however, to, you know, make things right for the veterans. Now, you know, is it going to happen overnight? No. You know, of course, you know, you have to go through your political bull crap that everybody has to go through. But, you know, overall, the veterans are still lacking. You know, I saw one guy yesterday on the street that says, Iraqi war veteran out of gas. He's standing there holding a sign saying he out of gas. Why is this? I mean, whether it's true or not, you know what I mean? Whether it's true or not, the thing is, why is he having to do that? You know, and it's crazy.
Because he can't get the help that he needs.
Right. That's right. That's the point. Let's see. We got a comment in the chat room say most of the people working at the Veterans Benefits Office are not veterans, so they don't care because they are looking forward to retirement. Okay. Maybe that's the reason also. Now, I do know a lot of veterans work up there because I know a few of them. So, I mean, here where I am, which, mm-hmm. you know, we have a large military retirement community anyway. Mm-hmm. But that may be part of it also. And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, and here it is. They can't keep the doctors and stuff in place either. You know, I know for a while, every time I went back, I had a different doctor. You know, I'm like, wow.
They got rotated out of that position?
It's not even rotated. They just left, rolled out.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, the turnover was so high, you know, it really, really made it just like, ah, man. So, well,
maybe they
got
frustrated. Maybe they wanted to administer the care towards the vets that the vets deserved, but they didn't have the resources, and they figured, why should I take the BS from a lieutenant colonel who knows nothing, you know, try to administer care to the vets but can't do it, so I get stopped and frustrated at every point and turn, and maybe mm-hmm. that's why they leave, in order, to make more money in the private sector, too, if they can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's a lot of it, too. You know, they use the VA as a stepping stone toward getting their own business started.
Mm.
You know, and well, you know, that's in the military, period. But H2O says you can't fault the administrators for turning a blind eye. Why can't you? Oh, he's being sarcastic.
Oh,
I think he's being
sarcastic.
Yeah. If you buy into the entire psychology of war, which by definition means its participants are disposable, well, H2O, let me tell you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, they tell you you expendable, as okay, disposable. Yeah, but once you're back, you know, you just for now. Let me straighten this out real fast. And since you done started me, Joe, I'm gonna have to say. Now, as far as veterans, you know, the ones that went over, have done something, put their life on the line, handled something, okay, that's great. But, you know, you have some of them out there just working the system. You understand what I'm saying, Joe? And I think that creates a big problem also, because they think everyone is just working the system when there's actually some vets out there that really need help, and no one, you know, is trying to make sure those are the ones to get help, because they get this attitude that, well, you know, oh, well, here they go again. They just want some drugs. They just want, you know, a higher percentage. But, you know, there's actually veterans out there that really do need help, and we need to recognize that. Go ahead.
I think there are probably more vets who need help than there are vets who are working the system. Besides that, if there are vets who are gaming the system, how did they do it? They had to do it because of the stupidity of the clerks and the people at their own government desks who allow it. So that by itself shows that the Veterans Administration needs an overhaul in competency, but it also needs an overhaul in caring. There are vets who absolutely, without a doubt, if you've got a foot blown off, you're not faking it. You've got a foot blown off. You need help. You need a prosthesis. You need the good nurses. You need a caring attitude. And that's not what I have here in my region. The nurses, the doctors don't give a crap, you know. They just want their paycheck, and they think they're the boss. And at times, that's another reason why I haven't gone to the vets for years, because there are times when I just wanted to smack somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really rude doctors, really rude nurses. And these people, they don't have any kind of physical problem, you know?
Well, see, and that's the other catch to it. A lot of times it's not a physical problem that they're dealing with. It's more, a lot of times, psychological, mental, you know what I mean? But it's illness that you just cannot see straight out. Because it doesn't present itself like that, you know.
Yeah, it's
so
not openly visible. It's not obvious.
Right. So
they
hold on, we
got
some
psychiatrists and psychologists at the vet. They need more people Well, I don't know about more people. The way the bureaucracy works, more people means that it gets more bloated. What they need is a well-oiled machine that is very well directed towards the care of the people who protect this country.
Hmm. That is true. I like that, Joe. Hold on. We got somebody else with their hand up, so let me bring them in here, see who we have here. Area code 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hey, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing today?
What's up? What you guys talking about?
What are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about veterans not getting the care that they deserve.
Oh.
You've got 3 minutes, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't have really much to say.
All right.
No, not really much to say.
Oh. Well, then let me go on, then. Because,
hey,
again,
go ahead.
this is bullshit. The veterans are extremely important. We're the ones that protect the nations, that everybody else will have the time, the opportunity to whine about anything that they want to whine about. We're the ones that defend the First Amendment, Second Amendment, through the 10 Amendments, and the Constitution as a whole. Why? Because we believe in liberty. I myself didn't enter the service because I was a patriot, okay? I entered when I was extremely young. I saw it as an opportunity. I stayed there only 4 years because I didn't want to be bothered with the military anymore. I didn't want to have to salute people. I was a non-com. If I were an officer, I might have stayed in there for 20 years, you know. Retired very early, gotten a nice fat paycheck, and then continued on in the private sector as a businessman. But because I went in as a non-com, I got out as a non-com. But the veterans are important. The existing servicemen and women are important. We are extremely important. Without us, it doesn't matter how many doctors you have, lawyers, engineers, architects, if we as a group do not protect our nation properly, then the nation disappears. So we are very important. And people don't give us the due that we are that we deserve.
Well, Joe, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because, see, here's what's going on. And after the Saudi war, okay, but the Gulf War, whatever they call it, after the Gulf War, what did they do? They immediately started downsizing. We don't need you no more. Go on about your business. Okay, which was wrong, and to this day, there are still things that are popping up from that war, like the Gulf War illness, you know, something nobody has really figured out what the heck it is and where it came from. Mm-hmm. Me and a couple other guys that I know, at a certain time of year, our hands just begin to peel. You know,
wow.
nobody can tell us why. But what causes it, it just does. You know, and see, the more you go through it, it's just amazing because when it comes to things like that, they always are, what they call it, working on it, you know, trying to find a reason, you know. And it's just like, well, dang, how long is it going to take you?
Mm.
You understand? Now, when you fast forward to today, man, I'm telling you, so many soldiers are getting out, and some of them really do have some issues with them. But yet, once again, the military is doing what they do. After major wars, ain't no more fighting them, they kicking them all out. Now, you throw all these soldiers out, you know, and it depends on what they get out for, where do they have to go? The VA, right? If they get smart. So now that's a whole nother load of individuals coming in and more pressure on the local VA systems to try and treat all these people. And I think that kind of hampers the care that individuals get because you only have so many doctors and so many psychiatrists or psychologists to where they overload these individuals. You know, and it's just crazy because I know one psychiatrist, you know, they told us straight up, you know, they see psychiatrists, you know, when they're not having patients.
Well,
you know, and that's kind of scary, to where they have to go and see a psychiatrist or seek help after trying to give us help. You know, and you know, a lot of people don't really understand that. And see, and here's another problem that I've noticed. A lot of vets will not go to the VA because of the stigma they are placed on them. You know, especially if you have a job, a good paying job, and you want the individual to be aware of, you know, your illnesses in case something happens. You know,
right.
You want them to know how you treat them. But usually what I have seen, once you do that, all of a sudden there's sort of a plan to go ahead and get you out the door, you know, as easy as they can, as much as they, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can do it within their regulations, so they start trumping charges on you and things like that. I mean, I was a victim of that at one point. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's so much working against this stuff. And as far as Shaneke, I don't know. I don't know. Is it, would it do any good for him to resign and the place?
He should be fired. Can I speak now, Joe? Let me get my 3 minutes. He should be fired factually. I mean, it's clear. You can look at the measurement. You can look at his accomplishments. You have veterans have to, for first claim, to get a response, just get a letter saying that we got your process. It's almost, what, a year and a half? Almost 300 days? That's crazy. And for this government society to do that, but I must say, veterans, first of all, before you do get upset with the system and fight the system, each individual veteran needs to educate themselves with the VA laws and procedures and how you process a claim, the process and everything. So once a veteran educates themselves, then they can have the power because they can challenge them. Like, for instance, they have a loophole if a VA has to treat your injury and they have to wait, the patient has to wait a long time for 2 months to see a doctor. There's a loophole where, though, you can go to patient advocacy, let them know about your injury, and let them know that the VA is taking too long. And you can go to a civilian hospital, and the VA is going to have to pay it. But I think the combination, there has to be a service-connected injury. See, service-connected is more higher than non-service-connected. So once we know that, so if you're having a service, so you have a more higher rank, the VA has to pay for service-connected injuries. So you can go out to an outside hospital. A lot of veterans don't know that. I haven't finished, Mr. Talk.
You got 1 minute left.
Catching. Okay, I haven't finished. Another thing, when they talking about working the system is made for someone to work. That's what it's for. So when I think us veterans need to educate each other, and when we use that terminology, working the system, some use that, people use that in a bad tone or positive tone. No, working the system is what it is. It's in place for the individuals to work and to make sure things should be there, because certain veterans are entitled to certain things, and we're going through a lot of things, mental issues, physical issues, lack of trying to, you know, look at your military experience and bringing it to civilian life is real hard, trying to bridge that gap. So there's a lot of things that we must educate ourselves so we can fight them. That's basically
all right. That's
I
your 3 minutes, Michael. That's your 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's your 3 minutes. And thank you for stating the obvious. We know there's a lot of veterans out there that need help. Thus, the conversation today. And as far as your point about they can go out and seek other help, number one, you're right, it has to be service-connected. And number two, they still have to be referred from their VA hospital treatment area doctor. So, you know, there's still a catch to that, Michael. But let me bring Chef Rob in and see what he has to say.
Hold on, real quick, though. But I'm saying, though, if the doctor knows that they're going to be able to do a procedure, I know it's a catch, Mr. I'm just saying there's options, that's all. I'm not saying nothing's worked perfect. When I made that statement, I'm not saying that the VA is number one and they're doing everything right. I'm just...
You're just getting some buckshot. That's what you're doing. All right, let me see. Chef Rob, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Seth. How you doing?
What's up, Mike? You still there, man? You got shot down. I hope not. You didn't. You don't bleed too much.
We got a new rule, Rob. It's 3 minutes as soon as you come in, and that's it.
Okay. Look, you know, I'm trying to catch up a little bit, man. Look, the VA system, it's messed up, and it's been a way to go ahead and hide money and distort where the funds are going. Don't think that they're going to go ahead and how they got it set up to where you're going to go ahead and help veterans. No, that's a lie. You remember when that day you were processing out, they didn't tell you a whole lot of stuff. You had to find out a whole lot of stuff on your own about what's going on. Okay?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So even now that you're out, you still got to find out a whole lot of stuff that's going on. They don't tell you what's going on. So once you find out, you know, some programs, there's a lot of programs to help you no matter whatever's going on with you. I think you mentioned, Mr. Talk to me, I think you mentioned about you seeing a homeless vet. They got a lot of programs to help a lot of vets, man. But if the veterans don't know about it, then the money just go by the wayside. They got all these private groups that have popped up, and I was amazed when I stepped over and I stepped to the office and asked some stuff about it. Somebody was telling me that, hey, look, they got a bunch of groups. They got a lot of groups to go and help you if you're homeless. But they don't put the word out. And so what happens is the money come in, and they justify going ahead and putting the money in their pocket and then going ahead and asking for more money, requesting a new grant, going ahead and bringing in the money, and they ain't really helping nobody, man. That's why a lot of these guys are out here on the street. If you go ahead and you see some of these people, that all these groups that's out here supposedly helping the veterans that's on the street, even the people that's working for the Veterans Administration, if they was out on the street going ahead and checking with some of these people and some of these other homeless shelters or just walking the street, they would go here, fill beds or fill apartments and stuff, but they don't. Like, again,
they don't advertise that.
They don't.
They're not going to advertise that.
I agree. But I'm telling you why they don't advertise that.
You got a
they
minute, Rob.
They don't advertise that because the money comes in, okay, and these people go ahead and say, well, hey, a lot of people didn't go ahead and collect the money, so then go ahead and fill out an application to go ahead and try to go ahead and collect the benefits or the money or whatever. So now we got to go ahead and we got administrative costs. So we need to go ahead and pay our bills to keep us afloat. It's a big fucking game and a joke. And it makes me mad when I go ahead and go down there and I see brothers and sisters, people that I even see the guy I serve with out here homeless. And he said, hey, I went in there, but they got a bunch of silly restrictions. They're not helping nobody. This guy, Sinsnecki or whatever, he needs not only to go ahead and resign, we need to all line up and go ahead and take a whack at his ass and go ahead and move on.
Time's up.
Yeah, okay. So here's the question. I'm putting it to everyone that's on the line. Here's the question. What is the solution? How do we get to the point to where our veterans, you know, our fellow veterans can get the help that they need? How do we do this?
Well,
you can fire
Sinsnecki,
but then what?
Okay, I got it. I got it, and I think me and Chef Rubber already said it. But, Joe, if you're watching the clock on people, you're not listening to what they say. So, please.
Wait a minute, Michael.
We must educate each other like Chef Rob says, and listen, then we have
Michael,
to know what Chef
Michael,
Rob has said.
Hold on, Michael. Let me explain something to you. It's not your place on this show to tell somebody what they can and can't do, all right? That's me. I'm Mr. Talk. I do that. You don't.
Right.
Okay?
Now continue on. Go and say what you had to say. You cannot tell me that what I said to Joe that I can't say. I can poke fun.
Okay, first, poke that kind of fun. All right.
Colonel Jackson. the bigger problem is that, like I said, they're not putting a word out. And I told you, just like with all of these organizations that are set up to go ahead and deal with veterans or poor people, all these organizations, they go ahead and take the money and they go ahead and justify it, putting it in their pocket. Going ahead talking about our issues, it's a political. We use as political pawns. Well, they don't really care about us. As long as they got a lot of us going here, going on the street, wandering around, shooting each other, blah, blah, blah. All of the ills that's in the community, even with the vets that go ahead and tacked on top of it, that keeps these people with money coming in. So they can keep on going ahead and telling the people who don't know the situation, hey, look, we need your donations. We need your support. Go ahead and give us money. Give us materials. Give us this or that. We're going to do this. But at the end of the day, they do not, and I repeat, they do not go ahead and reach out to a lot of veterans that need
right.
help.
Here's my solution, though. People who go to the Veterans Administration, I don't go, so I don't know anybody over there, because luckily I haven't been sick in a long, long time, and when I have been sick, it's been of a mild illness, which doesn't require me to go see a doctor. But I would suggest this. People who do go to your centers on a regular basis, start up a website. It's free. Talk to the people that you meet inside the Veterans Administration. You can make up some business cards or make up a flyer from your printer, and you say, I've got information which you may not know about. I've got it on my website. Here's my business card or here's my flyer, and do it like that. And after a while, the network will form.
You know something, Joe, that's cool, but I go over there to the hospital, okay, because I'm at 40%, okay, mm-hmm. All right? I had to go ahead, before I got out, I had to spend 16 months attached to the hospital. That first month, I had to go ahead and learn how to walk again because mm-hmm. I had a dislocated hip. Then I had a dislocated shoulder. I had to have two surgeries on my shoulder. Plus, I have a little problem with my eye. There was a piece of metal stuck in my eye, so my retina has been damaged. But when I go over there, right, I don't have a whole lot of problems. I think the system where it is now, as far as you deal with your medical side, it's gotten a lot better. Because when I used to go ahead and call to try to make an appointment to see a doctor, their appointments would be like 60 days out, 80, 90 days out. So, but now it's like, hey, you make an appointment, you call now, make an appointment, you can probably get in there that same day. But when it comes to some other benefits, like some of the vets that's on the street, they're playing games with these guys and going here and sending them in circles, sending them to all these other places, and then go ahead and say, well, homeless enough. You don't need this. And these guys wind up going ahead and say, hey, look, well, I learned combat skills, survival skills. I'm going to do what it takes on these urban streets. And that's when you got a lot of problems.
That's right. Here's the solution. If you know, okay, you're right, because I've heard from other people also that going to the vet for medical care has improved. But here's the other thing. You're right. A lot of people don't know about the benefits, but if you know about the benefits and if you have a website that costs you nothing, and if you go and talk to other veterans while you're there at the VA and you give them a flyer so that they can find out about what's going on, don't you think that will help?
Yes, but here's the bigger problem. More people trust what's going on at the VA than they would trust you. Okay, you can go ahead and set up your organization, and a lot of these guys don't trust you, and I've seen that happen.
Why shouldn't they trust you? If you've got a 40% disability, right,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
you're going to the Veterans Administration, and you find out the little curves and the little detours, and you find out how to work the system, which isn't a bad connotation. Gaming the system, to me, has a bad connotation, not working the system, but you know how to work the system so that you can bypass all the obstacles that people don't know about and they run smack dab into, and you give them information. What's wrong with that?
Yo, I didn't say nothing was wrong with it. I'm just saying the VA has a bigger apparatus to go ahead and be like, okay, well, we're going to trust what's going on. We're going to go in here and get us a few, couple of coffee and some lunches, whatever, and stuff. If people trust that. If you go ahead and try to go ahead and talk to some of these guys that's outside
listen to you, but you try.
They hard-headed as all get out, man.
Okay, that's my solution.
Yeah, I know. I'm not shooting it down. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to tell you what's going on. Because over here in Chicago, they got 3 veterans hospitals, right? And then a few mm-hmm. satellite centers, right? Okay, mm-hmm. so Two of them I go visit on a regular basis. One of them, actually, I do business with one of them. And I go ahead and I see that, hey, look, wow, you know, let's go ahead and see how I can go ahead and help some of these other veterans, because I know what they're going through. I know what they go through when they try to go through the system and they go ahead and they wait. We all know. But the thing is that the VA is not having somebody come out and talk to some of these guys and try to figure out what's going on. That's why they go ahead and you have some of these guys come to the veterans hospital and get mad as all get out. Because I saw this veteran a little while ago, man, about 3-4 weeks ago. Huge dude. Man, he was screaming, all I want to do is get treatment. I want some pain pills. I want to go ahead and talk about my surgery, blah, blah, blah. Dude, it took 8 cops to handle this dude, man. 8 cops. Cops. This big dude was throwing them all over, and he was praying at the same time, please, just give me help. Just give me help. And they keep ignoring him. It's crazy when you go over there.
Rob, we know about what the problem is. The thing is, if you go there and if you have a little folder and you just give it, you don't even have to talk to somebody if you don't want to. If you just say, here, take this, make out of it what you will, and then go on your way. And then after a while, there'll be a few people who might want to go and see your website.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And Rob, you have brought up some very good points right there about, you know, the people on the street and, you know, help. And, you know, it's amazing because in a lot of instances, you know, at one time I was homeless, you know, and I tried to go through one of the little organizations they kept sending me to. And you're right. It's so much
red
tape and bull crap that you have to go through. I said, oh, well, if I got to live in the car, I live in the car because I can't go through all this nonsense.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what it is.
And eventually they're going to go ahead and tell you, hey, look, you know, he's got some mental issues, and they're going to come out, I saw it happen, come out with the tasers and everything, and they're going to do the swarm tactic. They're going to come and get you.
Right.
It's going to be the VA police, then it's going to be whatever city police, and then the county police. They're all going to come out, go ahead and pound on you, and then go ahead and start giving you those drugs that make you slob on yourself. It's a crazy, crazy thing, man. These guys, a lot of guys are asking for help because some guys they tell them, hey, look, you know, I have problems sleeping. I have a problem going here and being in crowds. I have a problem with going here with people talking to me. I got to watch where I'm going. You know, all the stuff that we went through. You know, and I get that every now and then. Every now and then, you'll never catch me in a movie theater. I swear, you can't get me in no room like that with people with to turn the lights off. I can't do it.
Look,
I
only way
can't do it.
I can't lie. Only way I go, which is sparingly, is I'm all the way at the top where I can see everything that's going on. And then at that same token, I'm already planning an escape route or the attack route in case something happens.
See that?
So
you can't even enjoy the movie. That's my point. And I'd be like, man, I don't know who got something here. I don't know. I should have brought my little, you know, my pea shooter.
Right.
I don't want to go through all that stuff, so I don't even go no more because it seems like I had a problem being in crowds and for me I cook and I'm standing in front of, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, and it's like, man, who's looking at me? What they gonna do? I had that problem.
Yeah.
It took a minute for me to adjust, man, and I see some of these guys go through stuff, and it's like, man, they don't know. A lot of people don't know what we went through, and the VA, the office, they don't. It seems like they don't give a damn. What they want to do is refer you over to the hospital, give you some drugs, make you stand around looking like you're crazy, and you slob yourself up.
That's it. Well, hold on. Let me bring Beasley in. He's been waiting patiently, and I'll see what he said. He has something to say. All right, Mr. Beasley, welcome to the show, sir.
This isn't going to be popular. But every last one of you volunteered to be in the service.
Ooh, can I get him first?
No.
Go ahead. Go get him. Get
and I just sent a sentence. Why you want to get me? It's just some words.
Yeah, okay.
Every last one of you volunteered to be in the service. And if you would have, and I don't know when some of you joined, Joe might be a little bit older, but you had an indication of how they treated vets after Vietnam. Because there were vets flipping out and going crazy. I've worked with Vietnam vets. that when they got under stress, they did all kind of shit. I knew a guy barricaded himself in the boss's office and had a knife to his neck. I've seen them throw desks. I've seen them throw chairs. I had a friend that was a Vietnam vet, and if they got a little bit too stressed, you know, anything was liable to happen.
Anything liable to happen. So you don't be stressing us. And these people don't see. I kind of agree with
he
you.
He really hasn't
point.
Finished, Ron.
But
I'm sorry.
That was from the Vietnam era. Now, I would have never joined the service because I didn't like my father telling me what to do, and I told him to go fuck himself when I was 16.
Oh.
So I just know that I wasn't built for that because I don't like people telling me what to do. So I struggled and eventually found my way in the world.
You got 1 minute, B.
I don't think I took that much time. But each one of you, and I know it's fucked up the way they treat vets, but each one of you bears some responsibility.
Okay, let me understand. Let me kind of clear this up a little bit for you. Yes, we volunteered. We volunteered to join the military and go and do it. But at the same token, when we volunteered to do that, they also guaranteed us if we would do our time like we were supposed to, they would take care of us like they supposed to when we get out. So
exactly.
that right there, that horse don't hunt at all. You see what I'm saying?
And not only that. You know, they go ahead and they promised us a lot of stuff. And then when we go ahead and stand in line to get those things, we weren't getting them. I know I wasn't getting them. I look around, I'm like, oh, so-and-so got such. And then they want to go ahead and get, like, so many vets to go ahead and do stuff and to get things. When you go ahead, I try to play that game with the Small Business Administration, even with the veteran issue. They go ahead and sit me in circles and circles and circles. I say, you know what, forget it. I just come out my pocket and go ahead and open my restaurant. They go ahead and tell you a whole bunch of stuff, but then when we go ahead and get in there, it's like that, you guys know what I mean. It's like that hurry up and wait thing. Hurry up and get here, and let's go ahead and sit your ass around. Don't go ahead. Beasley, you need to go in there to go ahead and understand
what
we're talking about.
I
want to
find out from Beasley. Where
I do understand what I do understand.
Yeah, but we volunteered.
I had a cousin who was a Vietnam-era vet. I was with him at the VA in West L.A. when some fool drove his car into the damn lobby. We were on the other side, actually, but it shut the whole place down. Some fool drove his car into the lobby of the hospital. And we were on the other side across Wilshire, and they shut the, and they closed the whole place down. We had to wait for 2 hours before we could leave.
What was the
and
point I, of that?
The point is there ain't something for nothing. I know it's fucked up that they lied to you, but you bear some responsibility for having joined up.
Come on, Beasley,
that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard you
say. I'm telling you. What kind of stuff is that to say, Beasley? You know, I was... You know, go ahead, Mr.
No, let him respond to me because he doesn't like, you know, when people go, you know. But go ahead. If you want to respond to me, Beasley, go ahead. I mean, you're good
wrong.
At it.
That's wrong, Beasley.
I'm saying that for a purpose because usually if somebody says something like that to Beasley, he's
going
to go off. I don't mind.
I'm not going off today.
Hello,
I'm not going off about nothing.
I'm just having an opinion.
Let me finish with this, okay? Because I don't want to just seem like I'm just
saying
disrespect.
I didn't even hear what you said, Joe. What did you say?
I said that was the dumbest shit I ever heard you say.
It's your opinion. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, here's why. Wait a minute. I don't want to just dump on him and just leave it like that. Here's why I'm saying that. You're saying that people who volunteer, or even if they're drafted, that they have a responsibility for the bad care that they've gotten when they were promised good care.
No.
You
have a responsibility to your life and the decisions that you make.
Right.
And there's other options, decisions besides joining the service. A lot of people that joined the service were, not all, and this doesn't say to any of you, but a lot of people joined the service are people that didn't prepare themselves to go further academically or couldn't find another way.
What we're talking about right now
is
veterans who are not getting the physical care, the physical...
And again, I said what I said. I don't have to repeat it.
Let me explain because
I went on active duty, I'm supposed to go ahead and take abuse when I get out? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that at all.
You said that we bear responsibility for the decisions. The decisions
you take responsibility
we made to go
for your life.
The service.
You take responsibility for your life and
exactly.
And didn't no one make any of you join the service? And you should have known, and you should have known, listen,
promises.
When I was in the 11th grade, Joe, I took the ASVAB test, the Armed Service Vocational Aptitude Test.
We know what it is.
All right. Well, I took it just for kicks. I scored really high in, like, in the 95th percentile in a number of different little categories.
Yeah,
and them dudes was on my ass. Hold on a second. Let me finish. Them dudes was on my ass, and they promised all kinds of shit, okay? And when the Coast Guard guy would promise one thing, and I was never seriously doing it, except they would pick you up from school, you get to leave early, and they'd take you out to lunch and give you a ride home. So I played with them.
Coast Guard.
He said the Coast Guard?
Listen.
Are you
serious? I talked to all of them.
Yeah,
let me fucking finish. You guys ain't let me finish the sentence. I went out to eat with the Coast Guard, with the Navy, with the Marines, with all of them. All of them came out to recruit.
That has nothing to do with your original statement, Beasley.
What it has to do with is that when I would ask the Navy guy what the Coast Guard was saying was true, he would say the Coast Guard guy was full of shit. There's no way they could do that. The Navy and the Army guy played them against each other.
So
you
did
you
that.
Said you were in the
so what?
They're
the
a bunch of lying-ass recruiters, and if you guys weren't
they're
wise enough to see that somebody was bullshit,
you
then you almost
that,
deserve
hold
what you
on,
get.
Hold on, Beasley. There are recruiters who lie. I was lied to. I was told I could go into flight school. There was no such thing as flight school when I went in there. The guy lied to me. However, what we're talking about is as veterans getting the medical care, which is a tradition in the American history, starting from the American Revolution.
The vets like shit.
Hold on, B.
Okay.
I didn't interrupt you. The thing is that when we're promised that, and that's a 400-year-old promise from the American Revolution, and it's historically supposedly to be upheld by Congress, that is something that we have a right to expect. That's the kind of decision and the information that we've got and the decision that we make based upon that so that when we get out, we have a right to expect that. The fucking lies that the recruiters tell you, that's one thing, but medical care, that's another. So you have no basis for that fucking statement. And what happened? Everybody off? What?
I'm letting you finish.
Oh. I'm finished.
Yeah, I wasn't attacking you guys. It's just that you take responsibility. It's just that I knew, and I would knew that I had to take responsibility for every choice that I made from when I was, you know, a young adult on. And you guys denying that you made a choice to join, didn't no one make you guys join? And it's possible.
Making
yeah, but you guys aren't, but
join.
No one's taking what? Responsibility for any of that.
How
is
it? Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait.
No, you're
wait,
acting
wait.
Like, oh, they like. They...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. All right. Look, Mr. Beasley, number one, no, you make it seem like we're not taking real. We know the responsibility we take. Trust me, some of us walk around here with mental problems that we can't get rid of. Some of us walk around here with bad legs. Some of us walk around here with missing arms and missing legs. And you don't tell them, and you're going to sit there and say, we're not taking responsibility. Hell, we got to look at the responsibility we took every day when we look in the dang old mirror. That's what we have
friends.
To look at. So there,
friends.
We know the responsibility. Trust me, the only thing we want is the responsibility that they promised us to take care of us like they were supposed to. That's what we want. There's no reason why whatsoever we should have veterans of any era walking around here on the street with nothing, nowhere to live and nothing else. But dang it, you build a whole brand new damn complex for some damn animals. Does that make sense to you?
You know, this isn't nothing new. They've been doing people who served in the U.S. Armed Forces like this for years. Do you know this General MacArthur, this bastard, this person, when veterans were going ahead coming and complaining about them not receiving their benefits during World War One, he had a lot of them shot and killed on the Capitol lawn. Come on, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. I lost friends. We all lost some damn body. And then, and not on top of that, when I was on active duty, I lost friends. And then when some of my friends, go ahead, when I got out, they couldn't deal with what was going on out here. They took their lives. Just last November, I was on the phone with one of the guys I served with. He jumps off out of eight-story window. So you tell me how we supposed to deal with that, Beasley.
Hold on. What did I say about that?
No, may I respond?
No, you guys are really not listening to him.
Can I respond, Mr. Tuck? As a veteran, can I respond what I just heard him say?
He said Beasley. He didn't say Mike. But you want to respond?
Well,
go ahead.
I haven't responded. Okay, I will respond.
Go ahead.
First of
go
all,
ahead. I know because I don't want you to have a meltdown. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not going to have a meltdown. I'm not. He can meet me, but I'm quite sure I'm going to get to you. First of all, you came with the conclusion.
You ain't going
to
get to me.
Tell me. I'm not going to get to you, but shut the fuck up then if I'm not getting to you.
You shut the fuck up. You always talk disrespectful.
You just
you know, you called me a dumbass the other day.
Me.
You need to learn some goddamn manners, Mike. There wasn't no need to say shut.
That was funny.
I guess you put him in the green room. Okay. For people who are listening, right, because Rob, you and I still on the air?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. For those who are still listening, those in the chat room and those who are listening, I'm sure Eric got those two in the green room. Here's the point. When you enter the service, you do not expect to come out as a whole person. You hope you do. The responsibility that we have is to follow orders as long as they're not against the Geneva Convention, and we know that we, our friends, our relatives could come out with mental disabilities, our lives taken away, our bodies shot up. We know that. Those are the responsibilities that we're aware of and we accept when we go into the service. What we're saying for those who are stupid, okay, listening, don't understand, et cetera, is that when you go, let's say you're a private citizen, if you go to a hospital, do you not have the right to expect good treatment from that private hospital? Of course. If you're in the service and you go to the VA, the hospital, for normal treatment and especially for trauma, do you not have a right to have the same kind of treatment and care as you would as a civilian? Of course you do. That's promised to us. That's something we have a right to expect. And that's all that we do expect. However, the VA and different administrations have fought to keep a veterans from getting their just due. They fought the Vietnam vets from getting diagnosed with the
Agent Orange.
And when
and it was another one too.
The Gulf War syndrome that Eric was exposed to. They fought to keep that.
You know what, my friend got.
Let me finish, Rob. All right, just take a minute or so. Okay, so for those who are listening, we accept the responsibility of possibly getting shot, possibly ending up being mentally fucked up, and getting killed. Those are great responsibilities that we accept. And the Veterans Administration, they have a responsibility towards us, not only for what they promise, but as human beings who should treat their warriors with the kind of respect and consideration that is due. Now I'm finished. Go ahead, Rob.
I got a friend, right? Because his unit went over first for the first Gulf War. He came back, and almost everybody in his unit got boils and stuff and lumps and all kinds of nasty stuff and lesions and stuff on their body. My friend, his second child, when he got back, because he had a kid before he left, that kid has almost the same thing. Basically, we was promised certain things. It's no different than us going ahead and joining the military. For another company, they promise you this is what they're going to do for you, and when you finish up, this is what we're going to do for you. It's no not much different. And besides, I know that me growing up where I grew up in the hood, there wasn't too many other opportunities, so I chose that one. So these people promised us certain things and they did not deliver. So don't go ahead and tell me that, hey, look, you signed up for it. We signed up. You didn't go ahead and do that, so don't go ahead and tell us, hey, look, you're supposed to go ahead and take the damn abuse. That shit makes me mad as all get out. I lost friends, and I'm still losing people as we speak. I know another guy I was in high school with. I was in the same unit with this guy. This guy don't even know his own name, walking around like a zombie. Come on, BZ, you don't know what you're talking about. Unless you walked in my boots, unless you stomped in my boots, you don't know what I went through or other vets went through. So don't go ahead and tell me no stuff like you. Don't say that, man. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
He's probably still in the green room with Mike and Eric. So here's the thing. I hope people understood. It's not just about since veterans have come back disabled, mentally disabled, physically disabled, or the lies, okay, that were told to us. And I think Beasley's saying that we have responsibility for thinking that, well, not everything that they told us was the truth, therefore whatever happened to us as a result of those lies, that falls on our shoulders. That's not
now,
that
Joe,
doesn't make fucking sense.
Well, why didn't Beasley give me a job?
Okay, Mike and Beasley are back.
Hold on. Yeah. All right. Were you through, Joe?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. I only had 1 3-minute session, and I've been on here 1.5 hours. Listen. First of all, Mr. Solution, smart young man, he said he went into the military. So let me talk to the high sedity folks. And I'm going to say this. There are many people right now, if you got your Mercedes-Benz, if you own your little properties, you wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the low middle class people of this nation that defend it factually. You wouldn't be able to have it. Every country, every nation, even in our ancient books and ancient time, has to have a military defending it. But let me tell you what I heard is this guy coming on the show with all veterans and saying that we were stupid, we should have known, looking at Vietnam, we should have forecasted that we was going to treat it like shit before we came in. That was the conclusion of what he said. And I say I spit on his motherfucking concepts because that's what this show is all about. We're saying just because some other people was being treated, that means we're not going to be treated that way. That's like saying, well, we know this is a racist country, so you shouldn't have had a baby as a black person in a racist country because white people ruled it. No, that's crazy shit. We must fight. That's why we're having this fucking show. Don't demean people and say, well, the Vietnam and everybody don't take care of veterans. You shouldn't have been there. No. If someone still promises something and we see it's any relationship, if someone has a contract and they don't get in that contract, that person must fight and make sure they get what's entitled to them factually. There's some things that must be done, especially how can you have a veteran who defended this land and defended households and he comes back or she comes back homeless? How can you be homeless and not have a home in a country that you defend? Actually, that's crazy. That's psychological. We got to help that person out, or if they want to get help, or in that transition. And I'm going to say this, like I said before, this show, for all what Beasley is saying, we need to communicate and fight for our rights. Us as veterans, we have our little small community. So since you're not in that community, won't you just sit back and listen? Or give some advice or give some stories. Don't try to come in here and belittle. That's what the fuck you did. That's all I got to say, Mr. Talk.
I agree with Mike. You ain't got no business coming here, Beasley, talking that stuff because I'm still got problems going here paying attention to what's going on with my fellow veterans.
Beasley's still entitled to his opinion, but we can...
Entitled to your opinion? But Joe, come on, Joe.
Hold on a second. You guys are grown-ass men, been to wartime, and I express an opinion. And you guys are saying this bothers you? Give me a break.
No, I'm just...
Give me a break.
Let me finish.
These are words coming at
you.
These are words.
Exactly.
You know something? I can't make anybody feel belittled. I'm speaking in general. You make yourself feel belittled.
Oh,
you make
wow.
yourself feel belittled. I'm not making anybody feel
belittled.
All right, enough of that.
Mr. Beasley, I am not belittled, but I'm just letting you know that's what you was trying to do, and it's not happening. I'm just calling you out. Won't you just sit back? Why bring that up? Bring some information.
Bring some information, or go ahead and help
you
with this.
Why the fuck y'all joined? Y'all should have known. Y'all stupid. Oh, they did the Vietnam. Fuck you. I know what the fuck you trying to do. I'm just calling you out, because guess what? Listen, my head is up high, brother.
Michael, I done told you about that language, all right? Let's reel it in. All right, we got Supreme on the line, and let me bring Supreme in. Hello, Mr. Supreme. It's been a long time. What's up?
Righteous brother. And, you know, just to say on this, you know, I have to agree a little bit with brother Black Beasley because of the simple fact that, you had a lot of prophets in America that taught you, you know, that told you, that came before you and told you not to fight in the war.
That's what I'm saying.
You see what I'm saying? Like Elijah Muhammad, he was teaching that not to go in Vietnam during that period. He was teaching the people not to go and fight for the American army. And he said, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. So we had the black man in America has had a lot of people who've told them, forewarned them for what could come down the pipeline. So I have to agree a little bit with, I have to agree with what Black Beasley said, you know.
There's a lot of
people that told the black man in America not to fight for the American army.
Okay,
my
turn. Now, I want to respond to that.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Okay, here's my thing. Actually, what Supreme is saying has a lot of truth in what he said as opposed to what Beasley was saying. Why? Because we've had shows, and I've mentioned, not complete shows, but I've mentioned on Eric's show before, and I think you probably remember, Eric, I said I do not recommend people going into the service. Okay.
Yeah,
for one thing, you'll be fighting a war that is not for the true liberty of the American people. It's actually fighting for corporations. So I would always recommend, do not go into it. You've recommended, Low recommended, that if you, you know, especially, I guess, during peacetime, you can make a career out of it. And, yes, you can. What we're talking about is not entering the service. What we're talking about is that once you have entered the service, okay, either because you were lied to or because you believe the propaganda or because there is some kind of threat to the United States, for whatever reason, once you've entered the service, you are now promised certain benefits, well, let's just make it general, benefits, especially medical benefits, because traditionally and as a result of having seen your friends and your relatives gone to the service and gotten them, you deserve the same kind of treatment coming out as any civilian who goes to a hospital. This is what's been promised. This is what has been delivered, although in a meager way throughout the years. Okay, this is what they owe us as civilized human beings. If we forget about the fact that they may have a plan to try to destroy everybody who's a vet, okay, but as civilized human beings, this is what people who are in charge of that particular administration owe us, and this is something we have a right to expect. And not everybody was fooled. I mean, there are a lot of people who believed in it because we were brought up that way. We were not awakened until maybe our 30s and our 40s. Young people going into the service still believe the same as everybody else here believed at the age of 20, that America is a great country, unless, of course, you know, they're listening to different programs. But when you're in, you are promised and you deserve what you were promised. So those are two separate issues. I'm finished.
Go ahead, Mike.
You want to go?
Go ahead, Mike.
Real quick. Yeah, let me, I hear echo in the background. Well, let's go ahead and tackle this. Let's get real hot and heavy. Well, first of all, these concepts that a black person living in America should not go into the army because of the racism and stuff. I said, hold up. What type of concept is that? That means, let's go for that philosophy. That means we don't supposed to have a black police officer, black school teacher, a black fire person. A black person.
I don't think so, brother.
Hold on. A black person working for the government.
Black man
Social
should
Security.
Not be one of those above, brother.
Listen. If that's the case, where does it end? Black people should not even work in this society, shouldn't even touch a dollar because we're part of a government. Come on, bro. When I hear that philosophy, and what I'm saying is, irregardless,
but, brother, the devil doesn't give the black man a share of the spoils, brother. Even the white man doesn't get a share of the spoils.
Listen to me. Okay, listen. My grandfathers and grandmothers. Hold up. My grandfathers and grandmothers factually funded the military in many wars for this country, right? So, haven't I know that I have ownership to this country? So, I have to act like it going forward. Even though you're saying what do I do? I say fuck what the, I say. Okay, what you're saying, someone may think that, and I say fuck that. I have every right, especially not just as a veteran, as a citizen, and knowing my history, and knowing I have a part of this, I'm going to fight for it every fucking day. Bottom line, politics, debating, spending my money. Anyway, teaching my kids, well, what are we doing? Having a talk show like this, dialoguing and trying to maintain concepts, it's a fight and battle each and every day, but I'm not going to fucking give up. Don't sit up there and fucking demean. Because in America, just like where you live at, is a group of people, different group of people living in a small area or a geographical location, and we're going to have to deal with each other factually. So don't demean a brother who goes into the Army and United States military. Bottom line.
Let me piggyback off that real quick. Don't go ahead and demean us because we go ahead and chose what for me. Okay, what was go ahead the three biggest employers from my neighborhood were drug dealers, McDonald's, and the military. So I chose the military. Okay, and it bettered my life and it helped me go ahead and complete my college because my parents couldn't pay for it. My dad split and my mom was dead. So I had to go ahead and do what it takes to go ahead and get what I got now. And I've accumulated several things and I'm happy with what I got. I couldn't have got that before. So when I go ahead and chose to go ahead and go into the military, it wasn't the thing to go ahead and kill off my own people. I'm totally against that. And once I got into the military, I started seeing a little bit more, a lot more, about what the world was all about because I could go ahead and travel. I couldn't travel then before I go and join the military. I saw what the world was about, and I saw what the U.S. was all about. So you're missing – anybody go ahead and say something about us, against us, for me, you're missing a point. That education, I needed that. It brought me to the stance of where I am now, and I'm all about helping my people. But we can't go ahead and go ahead and make it and throw out that delusion that people like Mr. Beasley were saying that, hey, look, you knew what it was all about. You didn't have a job for me when I got out of high school. You didn't have nothing else to go ahead and find a place for me to live when I got out of high school. How were you going to go ahead and keep me safe? So I go ahead and learn how more about how to defend myself. I can go ahead and puck your ass off at 300 meters. I can go ahead and do what I need to do to go ahead and survive out here. If they go ahead and shut the lights off, shut the electricity off. I learned a lot of stuff. I learned some survival skills. And these are the kind of things I'm trying to teach a lot of our people to go ahead and do. You ain't doing nothing like that. Don't go ahead and tell me that I was wrong for going ahead and doing what I did.
All right.
But we got to understand, brother, and I'm not going to look down you. I understand that, and that's the situation that the devil has put us in inside the system, the systems that we're in, whereby you can't, the only way for you to go to university, you got to go and fight on the front line for the devil.
Okay, hold up, Supreme. Hold up, Supreme.
Hold on, bro.
All right, now, I'm going to shut up down. No, I got this. All right, number one. I don't know where the devil and the heck came from in this, because that's not what we're talking about, all right? So whatever the devil got to do, that's between you and the devil, all right? Now, what we're talking about is the treatment our veterans are receiving from the VA care centers and from people out here on the street and sometimes from each other. That's what we're talking about. All this other stuff about, well, you know, that you're fighting for the devil's cause, I could care less. What I know now is I went in, I spent 21 years in the military, I'm out, I'm retired, and I want my just due. I want my care just like everybody else been getting. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. I want my brothers to receive theirs too. You know, as Rob said, It's a shame. It's a shame that we can't go places like a movie theater without having a plan strategy before we get up in there. You know, that has nothing to do with the devil. You see, if you've been somewhere and you have bullets flying at you all the time, you carrying dead bodies, dead tanks, you know, blown up tanks to places, what the hell you think you're going to come back just fine? No, not at
body
all.
Parts. I picked up body parts. I don't want to do that. It bothers me to this day. I take sleeping pills to this day. Don't go ahead and tell me. Don't belittle what I've done. And when I come back,
Hold on, I have to explain myself because I didn't join the military. Why would someone go sign up to do some shit like that?
when I come back to the neighborhood, when I come back to the hood, and I'm doing almost the same goddamn thing, but because of people like you, Mr. Beasley, who didn't go
don't
ahead and stand up.
Don't blame me for your choices. I didn't have nothing to do with your choices.
You ain't doing nothing with the kids here.
I ain't done nothing with your choices.
You
don't
doing
tell me what I'm doing,
here.
What I'm not doing.
Yeah,
I'm doing what I want
to
do.
Yes, you
I
do, because guess what? If it wasn't for their choices, your ass wouldn't be on this phone. Somebody
that's
defending you because
bullshit.
Of their choices.
You guys would anybody that went over to Iraq,
that's a
you fought
look
a proxy
book.
War for oil. You didn't do anything. You were pawns, and you chose to be pawns.
I come back.
Okay. See, that's
all right, hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on, Rob.
We got to
hold on, Rob. Hold on. You know, Beasley. And you said it. You're right. So there's no way you can understand what we're talking about or what we've been through. So, yes, you are absolutely right. You're right, B.
And I just
– But wait a minute, Michael. Wait a minute, Michael. You know, and there's no way, you know, we should expect you to. But in the same breath, don't you ever, ever knock a veteran like that again. You know, because what we did, we know what we did, all right? And we know the sacrifices we had to give up to do this. And, yes, contrary to what you may believe, yes, you are on this phone talking and living every day in the stuff that we put our lives on the line for you to have, whether it was the Iraqi war, the war in Mars, whatever. We put on that uniform so you and others can have their so-called freedom. So don't you say you ain't got nothing, we ain't do nothing for you, because that's a dang gone lie. And like I say, don't don't do that. Don't do that.
But hold on, can I say something?
Man,
can I say
please
something?
Please, can I? No. Hold on.
Wait a minute, hold on. Yeah. I'm talking.
Master Joe.
Hold on.
Okay.
No, I'm bringing somebody else in real fast who wanted to say something. Let's see. Area code 313, welcome to the show.
Well, how you doing, Mr. Talk?
I wanted to get in
because I it just made my blood boil to listen to that little short person, Beasley, trying to demean what our men, our black men, have done in every war in this country, have sacrificed their lives thinking that they would come home to a better living human conditions. And so I resent him tremendously, and I'm sure he's a little bit jealous that he couldn't get into the armed services because he was short and pigeon-toed and probably some other problems going on with him. But one thing I want to say is that we have...
Can I say something?
We have post-traumatic syndrome that exist in many men who have gone into the services. And this is very, very important. And what we see in Mr. Beasley is post-traumatic slave syndrome, because he has no compassion for what his brothers have gone through. And yes, he's benefiting from a lot of folks who have sacrificed their life for the better good of the greater good. And it's a shame that you allow somebody to be on your program that talks so much damn crap. You need to smack his ass upside the head.
All right, again, there's supposed to be no personal attack.
Well, he's attacking people on this line, and you all are allowing it.
He shouldn't even be
allowed on the line.
This is a free speech show. Okay, according to what Eric's
not your show, white boy.
Don't worry about the white black thing, okay? Beasley,
now
we're going
to
Beasley
with Joe's next. Who's next? My response
be
to Beasley.
All right, hold on.
No,
hold on.
Because no one has responded to him.
Okay, wait a minute. You know, once again, never mind, I'm not even going to say it. Go ahead, Michael, or whoever wanted to respond next.
Well, right, Joe. Beasley made a statement, and I must agree. He made the most demeaning statement that you can demean a veteran. Listen to what he did. See, he just said that we fought the war and we were dumb for fighting the war. Well, first of all, you do not demean a soldier like that. People like him, a civilian, someone who never would strap up a boot, and just like the way, probably couldn't pass basic training, right? Overweight, probably him like him. Couldn't get past the obstacles in basic training. People like him send those soldiers to war. It's not the soldiers. It's the ones in the tie, the civilians, the one who think they smart, the one who got the degrees and all that shit that's fucking up the fucking world. You do not demean the soldiers. You demean
Michael,
the
this is your last warning about that language.
That's all I have to say.
Okay,
that's all
I'm
have
the
to
same.
Say.
All right. You got to fix the language. All right, who's next? Joe?
Beasley should have the right to respond if somebody comes in to attack him like that. Is he on the line?
Yeah, I'm going to open them up in. I just want to make sure
okay.
I'm here. All right. Okay. His line is open.
Oh, God. This shit's funny. I swear to God, an opinion, you guys don't get it. If anyone thinks they went to Iraq and were fighting for American freedoms, they've got it all twisted.
You missed the point.
Let him finish.
No, I let everyone attack me while I'm on mute, and it's cool. That's not the way I see it. You were protecting corporate interests. If anyone infringed upon my freedoms, it was the government that was in place when you were fighting that war. And the only people that infringed upon my freedoms were the government officials, your superiors, the commander-in-chief and his staff that were working on the Patriot Act that approved the NDAA. That's who infringed upon my freedoms. And those are the same people that haven't kept their promises to you guys. Now, all of these other attacks, you know, is just some words. You guys shouldn't get riled up. I'm not the only one that thinks this way.
Okay, may
okay.
I respond? May I respond?
And you know what? Your issue isn't with me, because I don't have any control over the Veterans Administration and them doing what they say they were going to do. I don't have any control over that.
And you don't have any control to talk any longer right now. Look, I think this is headed the wrong way. We were talking about... Look, whether you think we were over there fought for your freedom or not, oh, well, that's your opinion. I mean, everybody has one, and you know, that one makes the world go round, okay? That's the bottom line. So, you know, we're not going that route. Okay, you can respond in a moment, Joe, but what we're talking about is having our veterans get what they deserve, what they were promised. That's what we're talking about. You know, whether you don't think anybody should go in the military, that's your thing. To me, I still say it, and Joe know I've said this plenty of times. I think every kid coming out of high school that don't have a job or is not going to college, they need to go in for at least 2 years. I say it then, I say it now. You know, but see, in the same – well, I say this for my closing statement. Now, I'm not going to go any further with that. But go ahead, Joe, and then I'm going to bring someone else in.
All right. The thing is, Beaver, you're assuming that people who go into the military, they know that somehow the military is a fucked-up organization and that America is a fucked-up country in the way that it treats not just blacks but whites and allows them to be deceived in order for them to get into the service so that they can just take the rights away and then use them as military pawns. That's an assumption, and it's a bad assumption. Most people
right.
that go into the military... they do not think of America as a bad country. They think of America as my country, tis of thee. Most Americans, when they go into the service, they're about 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and they haven't had the chance to become awakened. They still believe in putting the hand over their heart and fighting for the country because they believe the lies that the country has told them that they're under a terrorist attack, they're under a communist attack, they're under this kind of attack, they're under this kind of threat, and yes, the Americans who enlist, rather than non-coms or officers, they believe the lies, okay? You can't fault people for believing the lies when they haven't had the chance to become awakened. So your assumption is a very false assumption. However, if you're saying that if now you're in your 20s, 30s, and you go back into the service knowing what the service has done and has not done, then, yeah, I think of those people as fools because they know that there's a great chance that those particular promises are not going to be delivered. But at the time when you first go in, you're a neophyte. You're a newbie. So I'm finished there.
Why just when you just made this argument because why didn't we use Vietnam as our example for not going in because Vietnam veterans weren't getting taken care of? You just go. I mean,
hold on, Mike,
it doesn't make any sense.
No veteran doesn't know.
The politicians and the ties make the decision. Blame it on them.
I just
not the soldiers.
That, Mike.
Bottom line.
Mike.
But
hold
no,
on.
You're saying the 20-year-old, Mike. The 20-year-old veterans now should look at the Iraqi
not
war and 20 say, "Why
well, should veterans, a 21, 22, 23-year-old person who enters the military.
Well, right. But you're saying they should look at the Iraqi war and say, not go in.
Mike.
And he's saying that we should look at Vietnam and not go in. I say, hold up.
At
no.
ease, Mike, goddammit. Relax, man. Here's the thing. That guy beats me, okay? I respect a lot of his views. I don't want to go ahead and attack him too much. But here's the thing. If you had an alternative for me going ahead and joining the service, I probably would have gladly took it. A lot of us probably would have gladly took it. But at that time, there were no alternatives. It was either the McDonald's, drug dealing, or the military. And I chose the military. Did you have an alternative to one of them?
Yeah, I did, and I screwed them up, and I had to find my own way.
Okay, that's you. But for me, how could you go ahead and tell me and other individuals like me that there was an alternative?
Because there was an alternative, Rob, and the alternative was doing well in school.
Mike.
That was the alternative.
Wait a minute. Let me finish the sentence,
and I get put on mute.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a real alternative.
Please,
the alternative was doing well in school.
Please,
and getting some good grades and having some other options and having made options for yourself. It sounds like you guys.
All right. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I told you. I said Diddy.
Hold on. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Hold on.
All right. Look.
I was doing well.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Rob. I got that one. You know what, Beasley? I can't believe that you on this line really went there and said, basically called us dumb. That's basically what you said. That's basically what you said. I can't believe you did that. You know, because, you know, there's an issue with that.
Mr. Lewis went to the military. Mr. Lewis went to the military.
Michael, am I talking? Now, number one, just because, you know, everybody don't have your 200 IQ, but anyway, it's like this. Grades and what have you didn't have anything to do with it. Some of us saw it as a way to better ourselves. You know, that's something. Grades had nothing to do with it. You know, grades, not a damn thing. I could have went to college straight out of high school. That's not what I wanted to do because it wasn't for me. And as far as grades, trust me, I'm not no dummy by a long shot, okay? Not then, and definitely not now. So for you to sit here and say you had grades, your grades, you made better grades, that is asinine, completely.
That's crazy.
You know,
look,
and I'm not even gonna sit here. I'm not even gonna sit here and let you say anything like that, Michael. Wait, all right? Now, the other thing is this. You know, sometimes you make a decision as a young man that can either hurt you or help you. Well, in this case, it helped me. And I'm sure a lot of other veterans would say the same thing. You know, it helped them realize a lifestyle that they know they wouldn't achieve if they would have stayed where they were in the beginning. You know, but of course, yes, men and women. I'm sorry, men and women. And you know, but in order for you to actually understand that, you would have to been there. Now, you know, everybody ain't been, you know, with the silver spoons or the gold spoons in their mouth, whatever. Some of us were working before we joined the military and realized that it was a freaking dead end and you needed something better. You know, so don't say nothing about our intelligence. because some of the most intelligent people you would ever meet are in the military.
Exactly.
You know, so don't sit there and say that. All right, hold on. Let me bring on
I was accepted into an officer program. That guy don't know what he's talking about. You don't say no stuff like that. I chose to go to college while I was in the military, and I did pretty well. Don't go ahead and say no stuff like that, Beasley. You don't know nothing about my background.
That's right. Let me bring Don in. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm listening, man, the whole conversation. I don't know, man. I ain't going to say the cats didn't have other options, man, you know, and they just chose to go into the, you know, that's Beasley's opinion. I mean, we all got different opinions, but I ain't saying he wrong in his opinion because that's how he feels. But my thing is that I don't agree with that because you got cats that have scholarships, man, that chose to join the Army instead of going to college. You know, and I'm talking about academic scholarships. You know, I mean, but everybody make their own, you know, they choose what they want to do. I think that it's better now. I never went to the military, never had a desire to go. I think if you go now, it's better. I think cats that went during the Vietnam era have more of a beef with that as far as black cats go because a lot of them was drafted and they had to go. That's why I like Muhammad Ali because he didn't go. And some people talked about him, dogged him or whatever, but at that time black folks was getting treated bad as well as before that. And the man felt like he shouldn't have to go fight for a country who didn't treat him as an equal. Now, I agree with that.
Yeah, brother, right. You're right.
But in this day and age, I think things are a little bit different. So, you know, if people decide to go, then, you know, that's on them. But I do think, and I was telling Mr. Clark this earlier before I got on the line, that I think that because I know the topic is on veterans and them getting what they deserve. Now, I do think the veterans, regardless of how people feel about the military, if they like it, they don't like it, they don't feel like it's a place for a black man, white man, whatever. My whole thing is that I think that the government don't take care of the veterans. And if you look at them cats that came back from Vietnam, black, white, it didn't make no difference what color you was. When you got back, you still got spit on by the American people. And I feel like the government, who drafted a lot of them cats, they made them go into the military, they didn't take care of them when they got back. That's why you had a lot of them cats, they was heroin addicts, they junkies. You got cats from the Vietnam era that are still homeless to this day. And they old men now. You know, I mean.
That's right, brother. That was my point.
And then, too,
you
got cats.
Black man in America.
If you look at Fort Hood right now, they had two deadly shootings within the last 5 years from cats that have been over there in Afghanistan and Iraq with post-traumatic stress. Didn't get the help that they really needed. Them cats and killed all these people. So you got to ask, what is the government really doing for these veterans when they come back? It's like you want me to go fight for you, but then when I get back here, I need some help, whether it be mentally, financially, I can't find a job. You got probably more veterans unemployed than anybody else.
Exactly. You know, brother, I mean to cut you off, but that you're 100% accurate and correct. You got a lot, and it's a lot of black veterans that's out here. See, Mr. Beasley don't understand what's going on. See, we go ahead, we join this because we go ahead, didn't want to go ahead and do the other things. Like I said, the biggest employers in the neighborhood were drug dealers, McDonald's, and the military. So you can go ahead and just do some positive things by joining the military and come back home like I'm doing. And other veterans are doing, and other veterans have been doing. Most of the veterans who, the Black Panther Party, most of them guys, a lot of those guys who helped establish that were veterans from Vietnam, Korea.
Well, a lot of them cats got drafted though, so they really Let me make my point.
A lot of those guys came back and helped me form the Black Panther Party and deal with other movements like that. And also supported other civil rights movement and also came back and tried to teach other blacks how to go ahead and do things and let you know what the U.S. government is involved in and go ahead and hurting your people. And that's one of the things that I try to go ahead and try to tell people that, hey, look, we have to go ahead and do stuff for ourselves, but we got to also go ahead and recognize there are bigger forces out here to go ahead and help destroy us. So we need to go ahead and protect ourselves. We don't go ahead and protect ourselves. We need to go ahead and learn what they're doing, their tactics, their techniques, their concepts, so to speak. on how to go ahead and destroy us as a people, and we must be able to go ahead and defend ourselves. We can't go ahead and try to defend ourselves if we don't know what they're doing, what they're doing in other countries. I've been overseas. I done been out of here, this goddamn country, and I saw what they did to other people. And I came back here, and I'm trying to teach people what they're doing, and we need to go ahead and try to teach our people what's going on. We can go ahead and prosper and do a lot better if we know the tactics that they use, and they kind of don't change these tactics. But we got a lot of individuals out here on the streets, homeless veterans who serve, who go ahead and lose their mind. I seen a sister the other day who's out here talking to herself, and then she happened to tell me she spent 10 years in the U.S. military, and she's like a paranoid schizophrenic. So we got a lot of problems, and how do we deal with that issue? How do we go ahead and deal with the stuff that's going ahead and bombarding us and going ahead and tearing us down when we also got individuals like that sister? There's a whole lot of problems. It's not stopping at one place, and going ahead and trying to deal with this situation. There's a lot of stuff to it. Mr. Beasley, if you know what we went through, you would not go ahead and be trying to go ahead and tell us that, hey, look, you had a choice. Again, I had there are three different entities, big entities that go ahead, come into the neighborhood. They're drug dealers, McDonald's, and the military. You can get out of the military.
Hold on. Let me respond. I grew up with conscious parents during the Vietnam War. You know, I was taught war is bad. War is evil. It's not good. Okay? I was also taught then at a young age is that a lot of the war, Vietnam War, was completely unnecessary.
Yep.
The war in Iraq was also unnecessary.
We don't disagree with you. But you're not giving me an alternative.
You got to let someone finish.
I do let you finish.
No,
I
you
keep
don't.
Quiet.
You interrupt me.
Yes.
I was muted. And you want to keep going.
Let Beasley finish.
You want to keep going. Is Pat Tillman a hero?
Show me the alternative.
Is Pat Tillman a hero? You got to make your own alternative. You got to make your own alternatives. Is Pat Tillman a hero?
Not in my eyes.
I think Pat Tillman's a goddamn fool.
Mm.
A fucking idiot.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Here it is. He has a spectacular job working in the NFL. And he went and fought a war to attack people that had nothing to do with attacking the United States on some patriotic bullshit. And he lost his life in friendliest fire. His own troops probably killed him, and they lied about it. That's just the icing on the cake.
I'm glad you said that word lie.
He's a goddamn fool.
A lot of us were lied to, just like Pat Tillman was lied to.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the point I want to get to, Beasley.
You're lied to from your first day in first grade when they're making you pledge allegiance to a flag.
If a person is aware of the truth and makes his decisions based upon the truth, is that the same as decisions being made based upon lies?
Man, you gotta navigate through that shit and determine what's
lie. It's a simple question.
It's a simple question. Hit it.
Beasley.
It ain't that simple a question.
It's a very simple question.
Because I don't believe shit anybody tells me.
I'm not asking you if you believe shit or not. That's fine. The question is this. If a person is operating on their belief system, if they believe what's the truth when it's a lie, and if they believe something else and they operate on their belief system, you're saying that a person who's been lied to and believes those lies, if they're 17, 18, 19, 20, 21,
you know,
they're a goddamn fool.
Anybody can get taken advantage of. And if that person's been taken advantage of, then you're saying that person is a fool. Well, I got
to
agree with you. Anybody can get taken advantage of and fall for
a lie.
Rob, I'm trying to make a point.
Okay.
Beasley, if you're operating on those particular principles, if a person believes something, he swallowed the lie. So you're saying a young person who has swallowed the lie should have known better. That's what you're saying.
Pat Tillman should have known better.
Why should he have known
better? He should have known better.
You only
some...
know based upon information that you get.
Well,
not,
look where he is now. You think it worked out for him?
Even his parents didn't want him to go. So, yeah, he should have known something.
Wait, he believed he was a patriot. People believe, depending upon the information they get and how they assimilate it.
So
he
went...
I've gotten more information the past few years than I've gotten in the first 35 years of my life because... We weren't privy to the kind of information that people are privy to now. Therefore, when we went into the service, we believed the propaganda that the American government spent trillions of dollars in propaganda. They actually spent billions of dollars on news services, et cetera, to spread the propaganda in order to have those commercials be all you can be, et cetera, et cetera. You're saying, Bees, that those people who were young and are influenced by that propaganda, they are fools for not knowing the other truth.
I'm not saying that. Anybody can fall for a lie, but my belief is this, that most people don't join the military out of some sense of patriotism, that they wanted. Most people don't. Some people do. Some people don't.
I didn't
have
answer
option,
out of a sense of patriotism. I answered out of a sense of opportunity because I just graduated from high school. There was this thing called the military. And there were other family situations involved. I said, okay, let me try the military. It's 4 years. I'm going to get a GI Bill. And I went in. But
that's what I'm telling you.
I was not privy to the type of information that I am today.
Right. But see, that's why, if y'all remember like the Iraq War, that was when they first went over there, that was the main thing that was on the news with a lot of the soldiers, that had, the young people who had joined, and they was upset about it. And then the military's enrollment was down after they went over there, and they was trying to get people to come in because a lot of people was mad because they signed up, like you said, for the GI Bill. They signed up because they wanted to go to college and get a degree.
They were thinking about themselves and not serving their country. Hold on a second. When the Iraq War started in 91, started in January of 91, Saddam had invaded Kuwait the previous August or September. There had not been a draft, and there's still not a draft, but there hadn't been conscription since 72. So there's been 18 full years of 15 years of peace and about 18 years of no draft. People were joining the military then with no expectations of having to go to war. There were a couple of skirmishes, but nothing really serious. That was a serious thing. They sent 500,000 troops over there.
That's a lie. No, that's a lie. The Cold War and Ronald Reagan in the 80s, that's a lie. We always had the threat of war in the 80s.
Who said anything about
the
Cold
War?
Who said anything about the Cold War?
Mike's not going to say no stupid stuff. When I'm going to go ahead and add before Mike goes ahead and get started. No, Mike. I'm going to let you, I want you to finish. What Mike was about to go ahead and tell you, because I've been there. When I came off active duty, I was working for the Department of Navy. And you may think that Cold War thing is something they want to send the troops around. They were still sending troops around. They were still sending, go ahead, Secret Service and the NSA and then they what is that other crap? These other people working under the radio, they were doing that. Okay, Beasley, you don't know what you're talking about. I worked there. I had a top
hold on a second. That has nothing to do with having food
and wrong, guys.
Wait, Beasley, I had a top secret security clearance, and I see.
Who's on, Eric? I guess everybody's muted.
Earth to Blog Talk. Come in, Blog Talk.
All right, Beasley, I hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So I think
everybody's jumping on me like I'm denying them their benefits. Ain't that a bit?
No. What you've said
these
was
the same guys
thing.
That fight for my freedoms won't even let me have the freedom to have a fucking opinion.
Okay.
They're full of shit is what they are.
All right. Here's the thing. What you said has a grain of truth to it, but I believe that your assumption, your foundation is really off because you're assuming that everybody or most people who went into the military were aware of the dangers of the lies and the propaganda that the military, the Veterans Administration, the government was imposing upon the American people. That is a false assumption.
Yeah, that may be true, but I still stand by what I said.
How can you stand by what you said if what you
Let
just
said? Let me tell you
what
I said. Let me tell you what I said. That most people, and I'm sure different people joined for different reasons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that most people joined out of a sense of looking after themselves and they weren't on some patriotic shit.
Okay, that's what you're saying now, and I have to, maybe you're right, but when you first came on the air,
all I said when I came on the air is that you guys take some responsibility
that's
for having
exactly
joined the damn
right.
system.
That's what you said. So,
right, you take, so no one takes it in any responsibility
course.
That, hey, this is what I decided to do.
All right. Would you agree that people have to take responsibility for their actions, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would you also agree that people have to take responsibility based upon their beliefs?
What do you mean take responsibility based upon your belief?
Your actions are based upon your belief system, what you believe.
Right.
So if a person believes the lies and he's operating on that belief.
Then you've got to take responsibility for that. There was plenty of evidence that the United States military doesn't treat their
there
veterans
may be
correctly.
Evidence. There may be
there was
evidence.
Plenty of evidence
but
out there.
How can you take responsibility for that after you had already joined and then you were forced to go over there? Once you're over there,
you joined, it's too late.
Oh, okay. Well, look, the fact you don't want me to finish what I'm saying is...
Say what you're saying.
All right. If you believe in that particular premise, that a person operates in their belief system, and I believe that what's going to happen next is based upon the information that I got. Now, you're assuming that because there was evidence out there, the information was out there, that the people were aware of it. The people who are not aware of it, they are therefore only susceptible to the propaganda that holding your hand over your heart when civics class or an ordinary class and you stand up, you pledge allegiance, that's their belief. They are not, therefore, responsible for the lies that they were not aware of. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I think somebody would have to have their head in the sand to see that there wasn't discord with Vietnam vets when they were coming
people
back.
People were aware that there was a thing as Agent Orange. People were aware the Vietnam vets, Korean vets, World War I vets, World War II vets. I'll give an example. I was lately, let's say in the past few years, I was aware of the almost battle between World War I vets and Capitol Hill, because almost a war, because they were denied their benefits. All right.
Exactly.
What you're saying is, I should
there's
have been
a history
aware
of this
that.
Shit.
What you're saying is, I should have been aware of that before I entered into my particular era of the military.
You should have
That's
taken it
saying.
Into consideration. You should have taken it into consideration.
If
you should have been aware
of
that.
Of
you know what? I think a lot of this has to do with how I was brought up. When I was a kid, we couldn't play with guns like everybody else. Everyone else got to play with guns. My mother said they were war toys. I had parents
right.
that were conscious, that were anti-war, that
you
were
had a different
anti,
kind of
that were anti-war
so
and anti-killing. And you know what?
You don't want me to finish my statement. The thing is, the
You're
premise is
You're making your statements,
Joe.
It's just reinforcing the point.
Now, I got to the point, but you keep going away from it. The thing is, if you're agreeing that people act based upon what they believe, since they didn't have the information to make them believe otherwise, they therefore are not responsible for what they do.
No, they're absolutely responsible.
They're not responsible for what they do if they don't have that information.
Do you own guns now, sir?
Joe, but the information's out there.
Do you own guns now?
If they don't come across it, they're not responsible for it.
Beasley, do you own guns now?
If he owned guns now, what did the parents do? I'm just saying, if my parents taught me not guns were bad, and as an adult I own guns, what did my parents say?
My parents taught me a lot of things were bad. They taught me drugs are bad. I still experimented with drugs.
You experiment with the guns but also?
No, you're saying that you're coming with
I don't experiment with them, but I would put it like this. I would feel very sorry for the person decided to come into my home and bother me.
Well, we had
without
training,
me inviting them.
A veteran has had training with handling weapons. You understand that? A lot of individuals who haven't had that training go ahead and kill their innocent people.
Yeah.
You understand that? I
might be one of them people and shoot myself. I don't play with the damn thing. I don't have a lot of training.
So a lot of them Vietnam vets were coming back, going ahead and explaining stuff to us. We knew that. But a lot of them, some of them joined the Black Panther Party and go ahead and establish that. But we didn't have a lot of that to go ahead and tell us, hey, look, don't go ahead and join the military. You need to go ahead and help your neighborhood. I keep bringing up the three alternatives to the neighborhood. You can't go ahead and show me another alternative. You can go ahead and prevent me from joining the military. At that time, that's all I had.
Let me ask you a question. If you go to a restaurant, okay, and it's supposedly a 5-star restaurant, okay. Now, it has a 5-star reputation, but in the past few weeks, hundreds of people have gotten sick from this 5-star restaurant. Now, if you go into that restaurant to eat, based upon the information, it was a 5-star restaurant, but didn't know about the current events, about the hundreds of people getting sick, and you go in there to eat and you get sick, are you responsible for that?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, if I didn't know... I didn't know.
You're responsible.
Well, are you responsible for the for coming down with ptomaine poisoning?
No, they are. They're responsible.
All right,
for serving,
that's what I'm
for,
saying.
For leaving bad food out, you know.
Okay, that should sum it up.
But you have to hold it. So,
I'm not pigeon-toed. Damn woman talking about a pigeon toe.
There's nothing wrong with being pigeon toe, Jake.
She's calling me pigeon toe. I might be a lot of things. How the fuck she don't call me pigeon toe? I'm looking down at my feet right now. I'm looking down at my feet. I said I'm not pigeon toe. I walked across the room. I ain't pigeon toe. So fuck what she's talking about calling me pigeon toe. I might be a lot of other motherfucking things, but I ain't pigeon toe. God damn it. I've been waiting to say that.
That must be an old girlfriend of yours. Because she was going in on you.
Nah, she's just an old shit. That bothers me out of all that shit you guys said.
I shouldn't bother you, basically. They're only words.
Pigeon toed hit home. I had to walk across the room and make sure my toes weren't pointing in. Shit.
We certainly had one topic for the day. I thought Eric actually wanted to have more than one topic, but this topic stayed for the whole 2 hours.
You guys are welcome for that. You guys were all agreeing.
Exactly.
You needed somebody to put the spice in.
Livening up the conversation. You know you are, boy. You know, but we appreciate the conversation. But that's
I told Mr. Talk will tell you. Mr. Talk will tell you.
That
in the green room before he brought me in, my first mind, what did I say, Mr. Talk? He'll tell you this is the truth. I said, man, I ain't got no experience here. I don't need to comment on this. That's the first thing I said.
You knew what you were going to do.
Mr. Talk will tell you that's the truth.
That's what my first mind told me. Yeah,
and then I
but
decided,
that wasn't going to stop you, was it?
Well, no, I waited about 10 minutes, then I decided to say, fuck it. Let me just go for it and see what happens.
Let me show you something, Beasley. You know what? You can go ahead and drink with your buddies, but if you sit and drink with a bunch of veterans, your ass is safe. Ain't nobody going to let you go ahead and get drunk and go ahead and we ain't going to tear up the club. You think about that for a minute.
All right, I see we basically talked all we gonna talk on this today, and this is good conversation, heated at times, but good conversation. You don't mess with them vets, man. But I'm gonna let y'all get y'all chance to get your last words in, and we gonna start with my man Don down here on the bottom. Go ahead, Don, what you got to say? Your last words.
Well,
Hey, Nate, man, I just want to say that you always have a good show, man, regardless of what the topic is. It's always some debating going on, and I guess that's the good thing about the topics. When you got a debate, then you know you got a good topic, because if wasn't nobody really debating or jumping in and saying nothing, then, you know, it really wouldn't be a show.
True that. True that. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You have a good one. All right. Let me see. Mr. Michael, you're up.
Well, wonderful show. Beasley, you know you my boy. Even though we had a good, heated conversation, I'm glad you brought some entertainment to the show. It was all good. We all learned. But you know I got to get him before he go. Mr. Talk, his conclusion and his concept that for that 18-year-old period, people that were going into the military really didn't think that they were going to have a threat going to war or defending their country. But we were at a quote-unquote Cold War, not actually shooting guns and killing another country, but the tensions in the 1980s with Russia, before we had the peace, all that was a tension of going to Russia. So when a soldier goes into the military, yes, war is something that all soldiers must be thinking about. So saying that you're not going to defend and fight for your country, you're just going in for a college education, no, you shouldn't go with that attitude. But that's all I wanted to say. Great show, and talk to you guys later.
All righty. Thank you, sir, and you have a good one as well. All right. Michael, you got to clean up that language, though. I'll tell you that now. All that effing and whatever ain't going to work. All right? Just letting you know. All right. Mr. Beasley, you up.
Yeah, I knew better than to do this. You know, I should have listened to my first mind, but then the show wouldn't have been nowhere near exciting or as much fun, and get them chiming in all over the place, pigeon-toed. Man, come on. You guys didn't even stick up for me. I'll be all these other. You can call me a flower child because I was one of those. You can call me everything else, a pacifist, a wimp, whatever the other, but the last thing I am is pigeon-toed.
Okay.
But didn't I tell them, Mr. Talk, I said, nah, I don't really have a horse in this race. I don't have no experience in this. Wasn't that the first thing I told you when you tried to bring me in?
Yep, that was. That was what you said.
Right.
But okay. You didn't follow your first mind.
No, well, it happens like that because it was getting boring, man.
Okay.
It was getting boring.
Boring to you, but okay. All right. Thank you, Beasley. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, Chef Rob, you're in the house.
that was good, Mr. Beasley. You got a few jabs in. That was good. But here, when an individual go here and tell me, or individuals or people like me, that hey, look, don't join the military. You give me an alternative. Show me a plan. Show me. Give me something to go ahead and say, hey, look, don't join the military. Do this. If you don't go ahead and do that, then I got to go ahead and do something to take care of my life. It's about survival. Everybody is going to do what it takes to survive, to eat, to survive, to go ahead and be safe. The things I learned in the military, I can't go ahead and get them up. And I'm loved, and I learned them, and I learned a whole lot of stuff. And I'm willing to go ahead and pass that on. I don't go ahead and belittle what I've done. You know, there's some things that I'm not proud of what I've done or be involved in. But, hey, look, I had to survive. If you got another plan, you go ahead and bring it to me. Let's go ahead and do that plan and not bring in some other individuals to go ahead and go ahead and be a part of this, because I understand what they're doing. I understand that the U.S. is all about going ahead and fighting individuals that's a lot softer than them. So, Mr. Beasley, we can go ahead and talk. I'm going to be on tonight, so let's talk.
All righty, sir. Thank you.
And thank you.
See you later. All right. Last but not least, Mr. Joe.
Hey, you know what I particularly liked about the show today is that there was a difference of opinion that people would have thought never would have been introduced. That's what we need. That's what discussions need. You need to have a difference of opinion, even though it sounds like it's way out there, okay, that is completely different than what the majority think, because then it introduces a concept that actually in some ways may be valid, most other ways may not be, but it does stir up thought. And I think that's what I liked about the show today, because I don't think anybody but Beasley would have introduced that particular concept, you know, that veterans are responsible for what happened to them. So, and anyway, that's
good point.
That makes for good discussion as a general premise. So today was a good show. Looking forward to tomorrow and whatever else anybody else might bring to make it a roller coaster.
I know, right?
Okay. So I'll see you, Eric.
All right, man. Peace out. All right, y'all. Another good show here on Let's Talk, and oh man, yeah. One thing you don't want to do, man, is get a whole bunch of veterans fired up, because that may not be a good thing for you at all. But you know what? It was good regardless. Oh man, only thing I have to say is the way the system is working, and you know what it's going to take is veterans helping veterans. That's what it's going to take. You know, a lot of veterans, the soldiers today, they get out the military and they have no clue of what they're supposed to do next as far as their health care. You know, and it's going to take veterans setting up things to help veterans, you know, get to where they need to go. It's simple. You know, it's not as simple as I make it sound, but we can do it. We can do it. You know, it just takes some time. That's all it takes. All right. Joe, don't go nowhere. That's going to do it for me. We're going to get out of here with a little Teddy. Get up, get down, get funky, get loose. And I'll see y'all tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And, of course, as I always say, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, everything else is gravy. Okay? Until tomorrow, y'all have fun. I'm out of here.